Will you turn with me to the second book of Kings, chapter 6? With the Lord's help, this afternoon I'll speak to you from the end of verse 15. Alas, my master, how shall we do? The second book of Kings, chapter 6. The last part of verse 15. I'll read verse 16 and 17 to put it into its context. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Those words, particularly on my spirit, Alas, my master, how shall we do? Beloved friends, do you know what it is to feel like this young servant of Elisha? You see so many things in your life surrounding you, so much to distress you, so much to perplex you. Maybe there's those things that have come upon you unawares. So you hadn't known of these things a few weeks ago, and you received a letter, or you received a phone call, or whatever manner these things have been made known. You didn't know anything of them, and yet here they are, things that will change your life, things that you can't see a way forward, a way through, things that perplex, that trouble your mind. You can't see how you can endure it, how you can bear it, how you can walk it. And you're like this. How shall we do? How shall we do? Maybe there's things in your family, and you say, how shall we do? How will we get through this? It's trouble. Like a gloomy cloud. It's risen up in your family. How shall we do? How will we not bring reproach on his name? How will we endure these afflictions? What will become of us? What is before us? What is tomorrow and next week? Maybe you're waiting to hear some news, and will it be good news? Will it be bad news? The Lord knows, beloved friends, this afternoon. And he knows not only where you are, he not only knows your feelings and your concerns, he knows what tomorrow and the next week hold for you. He knows what is the unknown way. He knows every moment of your life from start to finish. And not a hair can fall from your head without your Heavenly Father knowing. Then, beloved friends, why do we need to fear? You know, that's the letter of it, isn't it? The Lord has said, fear not. And we fear. The Lord has said, certainly I will be with thee. And yet, we doubt. Oh, friends, We all walk various pathways, don't we? Who can lay hold of a word and hold it fast to themselves? Who can take hold of a fear not and not fear? David in one of the Psalms says, I will not fear what man will do unto me. You know, that's a blessed place to be in. And in Hebrews read, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. Friends, you know, we may be there for a moment. We may be there for a while in the effect that it has when the Lord applies a word like that. Oh, but how quickly we are to look around. You know, Peter was told, commanded, compelled, constrained to get out of that ship on one word, come. Come, and he stepped out onto that water and walked across those waves. On one word, come. And, you know, friends, how we venture, don't we? And, you know, our love is to the Lord, and he says, come, and we, as led by him and by the grace working in our hearts, we come, and we follow. We take up our cross and follow him, and yet, oh, how fickle we are, how quick we are to see the waves, and we stand there and say, well, Lord, I have thy promise, but what about that? Well, this has just come. Lord, you said, come, follow me, but now something else is added on top. Some other perplexities come. Not only is there one burden in my life, but Lord, there's another, and another, and another. Are you sure it's still follow me, Lord? Are you sure I'm right? Are you sure you meant me? You know, we query and we question, don't we? This servant then, you know, he was close by, close to Elisha, close to this man of God. He had known that the Lord was with Elisha, experienced close hand the Lord's answers to prayer and the Lord's dealings with his servant Elisha. And yet, you see, there was this terribly big army. It had come and camped round about them. You see, we have a faith. Maybe it's a crumb. How can we pray, Lord, increase my faith? How do we think the Lord will then answer that prayer? Increase my faith, Lord. Lord, take away my unbelief. Lord, build my trust in thee. Let me be trusting of thee. Do you think it will be done remotely? Or do you think the Lord will come and put your little faith to the test? You see, as the Lord tries our little faith, and we in our little faith are enabled by his grace to plead a promise, to rest in a promise, to endure the trial, as we come out the other side of the trial, that little crumb is ever so slightly increased as the Lord has been faithful once more to his word. We're told that his word standeth sure, that his promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He cannot lie. He cannot give a promise and go back on it. He cannot renege on a promise. But, you know, friends, we need it. We need to experience it, don't we? We need to feel it. It's not enough to read it or to hear it. We have to live it out. We have to prove it. You see, as the Lord leads us through this pilgrimage here below, he's preparing us. He's preparing his dear people. The whole world is being prepared for that great day. There is that great day ahead of each one of us. And it's through the trials and deliverances of his dear people, it's through the pathway that he leads them, that he prepares each of his children for that great day. You see, What would it be if the Lord had given you a promise, a wonderful promise? Yeah, I've loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But it's 40 years ago. And I've got these things in my life. My life's hastening away. There's been no answers to prayer. There's been a state of niceness in my spiritual experience. But I haven't been tried. I see the Word of God, and the promises in the Word of God are all the promises to the dear Lord's people, but I haven't had any applied to me, specifically to me. I read, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I've never had to really pray, Lord, leave me not, neither forsake me, because I've always felt he's with me. And so you see where I'm getting to, that without these experiences, we would reach that day with a promise. But, you know, we've got unbelieving hearts. We've got an adversary, the devil. Oh, and on our deathbed, at the time when we're to give up all below here, why? You think Satan will leave you alone then, as he hasn't all your life? You think he'll leave your last few hours on this earth to peace and quiet? Or do you think he'll come in and tempt you? You 40 years ago, you plucked that out the Word of God. Where's the evidences? Where's the hitherto has the Lord helped me? Where are these stones that you've put one on top of the other of all the wonderful helps the Lord's given you along the way? It's through those trials and deliverances that those stones are made. Those rocks. So you can look back at being brought low and the Lord appearing. You can look back at being brought into a pathway of affliction and the Lord helping you through it, helping you to bear it. Maybe not removing the affliction, maybe not removing it, but sustaining you in it. And you can say, here I raise my Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. You can look back at prayer offered up by you in all your need, and the Lord in his infinite love and mercy hearing and answering prayer. And the Lord leads his dear people in varying ways. We're all different characters. We all need different pathways. We're all different personalities. Oh, but we trust we're all being led to that same city of habitation, that the rest that remaineth for the people of God. There is this rest that remains for the people of God. We pray that our names may be written there, that we may each prove to be his dear children and enter into his promised rest. But this servant here, he's looking around at this great army. He sees them with his eyes. His eyes, he sees them. And he says to Elisha, he says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? How shall we do? Elisha, how will we do? How are we going to get through this? Elisha, they're surrounding us, this great army. They're surrounding us. How shall we do?" What faith, then? What faith Elisha has? You see, he's a well-tried servant of the Lord. He has many things to look back to. He has many places and spots and places in his life he can point back and say, well, the Lord helped me then, and he hath helped me hitherto, will help me all my journey through. And he says, fear not. He says with confidence to his servant, fear not. He says this, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, what do you think that servant thought when he uttered those words? Do you think he was deluded, mad? You say there's horses and chariots all around. A great host has come, Elisha. Have you not seen them? Look. He said, but they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed. You see, he made that statement, but he knew that his eye, his natural eye, wouldn't see it. His actual eye couldn't see it. He says, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Beloved friends, that's what's round about each of his dear people. Every one of them here below has these ball of fire round about them. The Lord's sovereign protection over every one of his dear children. There is this host. The mountains are full of horses and chariots of fire. The Lord is reigning in heaven above. He sits at his Father's right hand to hear and answer the prayers of his dear people. And he has at his disposal all things. The hearts of all men are in his hands. Circumstances, all things. The cattle upon 1,000 hills. All the gold and silver are his. And he can dispose of it how he will. He reigns in heaven above. And he waits, and he sits and waits to answer prayer. He waits to hear the sighs and cries. And, beloved friends, you and I are in no wise different if we are his dear children to Elisha. This protection is round about each one. The hymn writer says, a sovereign protector I have, unseen yet for ever at hand. What mercy that the Father in heaven has laid up help. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. One that can overcome all things. He can overcome not just your fears, not just your doubts, but he can overcome all circumstances. He can come over all the mountains. He can skip upon all the hills. Your sins, beloved friends, though they're great, though they cost him, yet, friends, he leaps upon the mountains of your sins, and he skips upon the hills. Your providential troubles, those concerns of tomorrow, next week, and the unknown way, he skips upon them. Oh, that we may hear the voice of our beloved speaking to us, whispering a fear not into our hearts, that the Lord may open our eyes. How often we're blinded to this fact. We think all is against us. We gaze on the problems. We gaze on the world around us. We gaze on all that troubles us. And how we only glance on him. You see, it's looking unto Jesus that you'll get to heaven at last, friend. It's looking unto Jesus that you'll make headway in the storm. It's keeping your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus that you will not sink in those as you walk over those waves. You see, Peter looked around and he began to sink. Oh, to have our eyes fixed on him. He won't leave you to sink, beloved friends, but may it be a looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he who enabled you to build on him. He will not leave you and fail you. He will not forsake you. He doesn't tease his people and tantalize them. He doesn't bring you to hope in his name and then leave you to struggle here below and manage all yourself. You know, friends, he chastises us and chastens us for not casting all on him. How often we try to manage and then when our plans go wrong, we seek to bring him in with them and help us out in them. But beloved friends, he says, cast it all on me this afternoon. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He says, not just your sins, cast them on me, but your tomorrow. Cast it all on me, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. But we have to prove it, don't we? We have to live it out. It's easy to say, isn't it? It's a lot easier to say it than to do it. It's much easier to say, cast it on the Lord, than to actually cast it on the Lord. Oh, we want to manage something. We want to do something. Are you able? Are you enabled by his grace to leave it all this afternoon? Leave it all in his hands. You say, how can I manage the unknown way? Friends, leave it in his hands. You say, Lord, I trust thou hast brought me into this pathway. Then trust him. You see, you feel led that he's brought you there. You feel led that he knows you're in it. You've prayed. You may not feel like your prayer's reached heaven, hasn't reached above the ceiling. But friends, he's heard. He hears. And though he may tarry to answer your prayer, he has heard. May there be that casting it all, leaving it all on him. Alas, my master, how shall we do? You see, the child of God who ventures to openly profess the Lord's name, he has a profession to walk. He has days ahead of him. Some young friends who profess the Lord's name, where they may have 40, 50 years professing his name. You say, how shall we do? Maybe it's, how shall I do? Maybe that's how you've come this afternoon. Lord, how shall I do in my profession? How will I not make shipwreck? How will I endure to the end? How will I not turn back? How will I not bring dishonour on thy name? How will I not prove to be one of these foolish virgins with no oil of grace in my lamp? How will I not make a mess of all of it? Well, friends, you will. Left to yourself, you will, and so will I. Because we're saying, how will I? But we need to be like this servant here. As we speak in prayer to our Lord and Master, and we say, how shall we do? You see, if you're laying it at his feet, and you're saying, Lord, help me. You say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. If you're praying from a heart and you know a little of the two armies in here, if you know a little of how left to yourself you are prone to wander, if left to yourself you know that you would cast it all aside, you would make shipwreck, you would bail out. You would not walk in the way that the Lord is bringing you. But that's yourself. That's the I. Oh, that the Lord will enable us to cry unto him, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to endure. Lord, hold me fast. Keep me near thee. Take me by the right hand. Lead me by thy Holy Spirit. May I not prove to be one of those foolish virgins. You know, it often tries the dear Lord's people. They say, well, they looked in outward appearance. They looked the same. You wouldn't have told them apart from the people of God. You wouldn't know any difference. And it tempts them. Am I one? But friends, there's a great mercy in feeling like that. It's a great mercy if you question your own standing. It's a great mercy that you test to see if you have any oil in your lamp. It's a great mercy if you feel a burden that you might not have any. You see, they had no thoughts of it. They didn't question that they needed it. They thought they had enough. They didn't question the fact they didn't have enough until it was too late. They found out when it was too late. Oh, friends, if you're tried and tempted, if you're seeking that the Lord would appear and show you that you have that grace in your lamp. If it's a concern that you haven't, oh friends, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Oh, if you feel a need of Him, thank the Lord this afternoon. The world goes by this afternoon not thinking, not one thought, am I right? Am I ready? What if I was to perish this evening? They have no thoughts of these. Oh, friends, though these thoughts may trouble, though these thoughts may give concern, oh, that we may thank Him. Thank Him for causing these thoughts, stirring us up, pricking us in our hearts. These arrows that the Lord sends into the hearts of His enemies, the King's enemies, that's where we are by nature. We're enemies to the King of Kings. But His arrows, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the King's enemies. They wound that heart. And there's nothing except the precious blood of Christ that can cleanse and heal, to bind up that broken heart. As those arrows wound, as the arrows of conviction of sin, as the arrows of conviction of lack of grace, poor returns, how shall I do? How will we do? You see, there's a we for a child of God. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Oh, how many worm Jacobs are here this afternoon? Fear not, thou worm Jacob. You see, friends, there's a we. There's a blessed we for the people of God. That the Lord is to go with them, to go before them. He's to hold them by the right hand. He's to hold them fast and keep them near Him. Now, they may not always feel He's near them. Oh, but He's ever near them. And you know, He's nearest to them. You know how in the workings in a child of God's heart, in their early beginnings, as the Lord convicts them of their sin and He brings them to that point of utter wretchedness and feeling lost and helpless and ruined and far off. Yet, friends, how nigh they are, how close at hand He is. You see, as their distress increases and their need increases, and as their desire for the Lord to appear increases, and as their all that seems to increase in their own minds is their unworthiness and their wretchedness and all their sins are troubling and perplexing their mind, then how near the Lord is to them. How near He is. He's there. He's watching. He's waiting. For that time of love will come. The time of love will come. When each will clearly see. Not only that He shed His blood, but each will say, for me. They must come. They shall come. They may come. They will come through the dunghill. They will come as a beggar in the dust. They will abhor themselves, abhor their sins. They must. They must. They must know what how their sins are viewed before an almighty God. They must know the exceeding iniquity of them, the deceitfulness of them, the abhorrence of them in God's sight. Oh, and then the revelation. The revelation that there's a way whereby sinners are found in heaven. The revelation that to that poor sinner that he though he feels far off, though he may feel an uttermost sinner, though he may feel that he cannot come, though he feel that he has nothing good to bring, you see, it all has to be stripped away. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. A proud sinner walking proud on this earth doesn't cling to the cross of Christ as his only hope and only plea unless he's stripped and has it all removed. Oh, everything of his own religion, everything of his own self, sick of self and fond of him. Oh, we've got to be sick of self first. Oh, and then that blessed realization. What? Loved with an everlasting love? What, the Lord beholding me in eternity past, seeing all my wretched life, my profession, my unbelief, my lack of faith, yet despite it all, in spite of it all, despite my own heart, my own failings, my own sinfulness, yet over it all abounds this, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The love of Christ flowing into a sinner's heart, pouring into a poor soul. It's how shall we do? Well, friends, if you're with that prayer this afternoon, you're saying to the Lord, Lord, how shall we do? Beloved friends, you are in a good place. You see, you're calling on him. You're not saying, how will I do? You're saying, how, Lord, shall we do? Lord, thou hast made me walk in thy ways. Thou hast brought me to walk in this pathway. Oh, then, never leave me, nor forsake me. Oh, then, it's how shall we do? How shall we do? Well, it's fear not, friend, this afternoon, that the Lord has all things in his hand. He won't leave you. He won't bring you to hope for your eternal salvation in him and leave you for the 70 years here below to wander around aimlessly, unhelped, unguided, unkept. No, it's watchful care over us, that the sheep will follow, that the sheep are watched over with his tender care. He is the good shepherd. He leads his dear people by the hand. What confidence then should be in our hearts, shouldn't there? What confidence should be in our hearts? What precious promises we have to endure our pathway here below. How many fear nots that the Lord has spoken. And the confidence of Elisha. The confidence in Elisha. We think of Daniel. You know, he went in as a servant of the Lord. He went into that den of lions. You know, friends, that's a remarkable, remarkable account, isn't it? We read over it so quickly. But do we really consider the things that Daniel went through? And even the king says to him, before he puts him in the lion's den, he says this to Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Well, that's nice. And that's good. And he was right. But you know, friends, what would you feel like? Someone saying that to you as he pushes you into the lion's den. He says to Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he'll deliver thee. But in you go. There you go. Here's a pack of hungry lions. And shut the door. You know, we see in the children's books how often they draw a picture of Daniel sitting amongst the lions, and they're all sitting at his feet, and he's stroking them like they're his favourite pet. But friends, all we know is the Lord kept the mouth of those lions. We know this, that they were hungry. We know they were hungry. We know they were fierce creatures. Oh, and whether Daniel was over one side of the den and they were the other, his God did not leave him. But what a walking out. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to say to a friend who's walking a difficult pathway, well, the Lord will provide. The Lord will help you. Ah, but you know, we want the Lord to say it, don't we? We want the Lord to shut the lions' mouths. We want to have the confidence in our own hearts. It's nice to have the concerns of fellow man and those words of reassurance, but it's only words if the Lord, unless the Lord applies it. Oh, but you know how much faith that king had, we don't know. But this we do know is that he was awake all night. He had said the Lord would keep Daniel, but you know, he wasn't sleeping soundly in the knowledge that the Lord would keep him. He couldn't get any sleep. And he went down in the morning, came to the den, and he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? What a question. How he must have waited for that voice, the voice of Daniel. You see, he was able. He is able. And you know, you may feel like you're entering a den of lions, and you may have had some pats on the back from fellow man and in love, and rightly so. They've reassured you in the word of God, and he will not fail thee. He'll not let thee down. Dear friend, trust the Lord. Oh, but may there be the Lord speaking a promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee from his lips. May that enter into your heart. Oh, that's what we need, isn't it? Daniel, O servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. Well, friend, I ask you this afternoon, is thy God able to deliver thee? Do you know the answer? Have you a friend in heaven? A friend who sitteth at the right hand of his Father? Jesus Christ the righteous. Are you able by his grace to say, yes, he is able? Are you able to say by his grace, I pray, Lord, that thou art willing? I know that thou art able to do all things. Friends, he is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. Those souls who have put their all in him, he will not leave them. They will not suffer shame. They will not suffer shame. Those who cast and commit all their cares into his hands will endure to the end. If you lay something in his hands, if you commit it entirely into his hands, he will help you. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You may have the cloud separating between you and his dear face, but friends, then there will be joy in the morning. There must be. He will not fail his people. He will not fail a poor, trembling sinner who may not even know his standing, his eternal standing, but who's led to cry out, Lord, save me. Give me Christ or else I die. Friends, there is no seeking souls with the Lord. They're all his dear children. Do you understand what I'm saying? With the Lord, there are his people and there are those who are not his people. Oh, and we have this term, a seeking soul. But a soul, friend, who's unaware of the Father's love to him. But the Father's aware of him. The Father will draw him. The Father will draw him to him. And none shall perish. None shall pluck them from my Father's hands. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Then, friends, those of you seeking him, may you be encouraged to press on. You say, I'm a seeker. I feel to be a seeker. Well, what does the Word of God say? Seek and ye shall find. What confidence is this that the Word of God can say such a statement? Seek and ye shall find. Why, it's the confidence is spoken by the Son of God. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. You see, those who seek and those who knock are knocking and seeking because they're led, they're drawn, they're constrained by his grace. And he doesn't bestow his grace of seeking or knocking on those who he doesn't finish that work. He doesn't waste his time. Friends, he knows them that are his. He's happy to leave the world as they are. His dear children are all to him. They mean all to him. Friends, he spared not his only begotten Son. You think he'll leave you? You think he'll leave you as a prey to hell? As a prey to Satan? Beloved friends, he spared not his only begotten Son. He shed his precious blood. He made a way for his brothers and his sisters to be found in his father's house. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, friends, he spared not his own blood, his own heart's blood. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? What more could he do to show you his great love wherewith he has loved you? And so we say, you may say, like the hymn writer says, you may have such small evidences, such trying things on your minds that you can't understand how the Lord could leave you in such turmoil and such perplexing thoughts on your mind. You say, I can't lay hold to anything. But you say, I ask my soul this question then. For here I would begin. Oh, do I feel a want of Christ to save me from my sin? Do you want this Christ to save you from your sin? Do you want this precious blood to cleanse you from all sin and uncleanness? Do you from your heart, the bottom of your heart, see your need of a hiding place? Do you want to hide in that great day beneath his precious blood? Friends, may the Lord continue that work. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And it may not feel like a good work. Oh, but friends, it's a good work. Alas, my master, how shall we do? The servant of God, beloved friends, each one of his dear people, we've many things to walk through. We've many pathways. We've not walked here this way heretofore. Not just the Lord's dear servants, his ministers, but every one of his dear children. We're all servants. We're all to serve him in one form and another. Oh, and may this be our desire. How shall we do? Lord, how shall we do in the swellings of Jordan? May we see him having gone on before. Alas, my master, how shall we do? May the Lord bless his own word. Amen.